How you entrepreneurs, today we have Barbara Masonette. She is a life and business coach. She's also a single mother. She really kind of goes into depth of where she got this passion from. She was in the corporate world, then she went to an event for coaching. And from there, her life changed. She saw the change that was happening in each of those individuals that were being coached, and she wanted to give back just like that. Please subscribe, please share, and please tell your friends. If you want to grow as a person, if you want to grow as an individual, if you want to grow as a team, again, you're going to want to listen to this. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so Barbara, we are here with Barbara right here. She is a life and business coach. So I know we talked a little briefly about kind of what you do, but I guess go in a little more detail.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Vinny, for having me on your podcast. And just a little bit about me. I live here in San Diego. I'm a single mom, and I stay at home with my son, raise him, homeschool him, and run two businesses. Successful businesses. And I feel like that is just, that's how I roll. Like, I'm committed and consistent and fully focused on both of those pieces of my life right now to hopefully raise a good human being while also, you know, planning for his future and my future and, you know, really being of service to all of my clientele in both my businesses.
Well, so have you always ran your own business, or were you ever in the corporate world, or?
That's a good question. I did have, quote unquote, like a corporate job for a little bit, probably about 15 years ago. But before then, I have had one of my businesses now going on about 28, 30 years. So been an entrepreneur pretty much.
So you had your son after you already started your business.
I have two businesses, yes, and the life and business coaching business that I do have was started after I had my son, but it was started before I had my son with the intention of knowing one day when I do have kids, I was planning on staying home and raising them. So this business allows me to do both. Allows me to have my coaching business while I'm able to stay at home and raise him.
Do you think you would be in the same situation you are now if you had your son before you started your business?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably and mainly and mostly because my heart is to be an entrepreneur. I have always enjoyed being my own boss and always enjoyed the flexibility that comes with it. And always enjoyed just all that comes with running my own show. So regardless of when my little pumpkin came, I knew I was going to stay in the entrepreneurial world.
That's be really tough. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I see how much time it goes into raising a child and then also having your child in your business and two childs in your business. So you basically have three kids.
Yes, I do. And for all your audience members, I do sleep. It is, honestly, it's really about setting up some really good boundaries. I raised my son from day one on teaching him how to honor when mom has to work. And as a result of that, he's fiercely independent. He's nine, but he can handle himself when I have to take my coaching calls. And I did that on purpose, and I did that intentionally for his benefit, but as well as for mine, because I have to balance being a single mom, being, like I said, an owner of a couple businesses, and committed to raising him.
So let's take me back to the beginning. Have you always had this structure in place, this mindset of, okay, I have a game plan put in place? You talked about it earlier on that you had a game plan of, okay, I'm starting these businesses with the idea once I have a child,
yes,
I can still basically keep these businesses going.
Yes.
Even at a young age?
Yes.
Have you always been? Okay.
Always. It's always been an entrepreneur. My mom fostered that love of being an entrepreneur. And then when I tasted it especially as I got to be an adult. And then when I had the opportunity to start my life and business coaching company, probably about 12 years ago now, there was just no way I would not continue doing that. So when there was a child added to the equation, it was just, how are we going to make this work so I can do both successfully?
Did your mom, what was that entrepreneurial spirit? What was she doing? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. She runs a private swimming lesson company. Okay. And that is what I also did as, I don't know, as a wee little thing. I started pretty young. And that's that's one of the businesses now that I do. So she fostered that. We do that together still. And then I do it on my own here in San Diego. And just to watch her have that freedom of doing that seasonal job really just gave me a taste of, oh, I don't have someone telling me what to do. Like, this is me being in charge of when and how and basically how I want to schedule my life.
So at what age did you start counting the money? Did you get a new business?
Well, like, right away, of course. Okay. So I'm one of those that is like, oh, what was I called? I can't remember the name, but like, I really am not a spender. I like to save. So when I started making pretty, really good money for a teenager in the swim lesson business, and I got the taste of being able to save and watch and count my money, there was just something about that fostered, where I am today.
So you're a teenager helping your mother out in this business, helping her grow this business.
Yes.
What's next? So you went to school.
I went to college. Okay. I got a degree in communications. That's where some of the corporate jobs came into play. And then I was at a transition point in my life where I had the opportunity. I was actually introduced to this concept of coaching, life coaching and business coaching. And mind you, I did this, like I said, 12, 13 years ago when nobody had heard of coaching. But I had a friend present to me, hey, you can go into this business where, in essence, you are helping people and you're asking some really great questions and you get paid for it, right? And my eyes lit up and I said, I can get paid for asking questions. And at that point, I had the opportunity to end my corporate career and start my life and business coaching by going into a year-long intensive coaches training program. And that's where I did.
So you had no idea of what coaching was? Nope. And your friend. So how did she describe it to you?
So she described it to me by having me call her friend. It was her friend that was actually doing it. And what happened is I ended up going to the coaches training program. They offered outsiders to come in and sit and watch them train people to become coaches. Hmm. And in that 2-hour Saturday session, I cannot not forget this. It was so powerful to watch these people sit at this table being asked these questions. And as an outsider, I literally watched their lives change in front of me because of these powerful questions. And I sat there for these 2 hours and watched these people be trained to be coaches. And I knew right then and there at the end of those 2 hours, this is powerful, life-changing work, and I want to become one.
Do you recall any of the questions by chance?
I don't. I mean, it was 13 years ago, everybody. But, questions like, what does it cost you to continue doing what you're doing? Or, what do you gain by knowing that what you're doing isn't working, but yet you continue to do it? So you have to be getting something. There's something that you're getting when you know intellectually that what you're doing isn't helping, but you keep doing it. So questions like that. And I would sit and watch their responses. And, sometimes they had to take a minute to gather their thoughts. But the kinds of answers that come from being asked powerful questions that really nobody in your life tends to ask, right? And to watch them see a light bulb go on and go, oh my gosh, because I'm doing this or I'm making these choices, this is stopping me or preventing me from having the life I want or the business I want or the growth I want. It was just, I can't explain it other than it was probably one of the most powerful days I've ever been to.
So you get this feeling, you're watching people life change, right? Mm-hmm. What's next? How do you say, okay, I want to be a coach? What happens next?
So I sign up for the program. It was a year-long program. And in that year, I no longer worked in the corporate world. And honestly, I had a choice. I tell people, I'm at a crossroads. I can either go right or left. And I could have stayed in the corporate, or I could have been, you know what, this is my opportunity to build a business. And I started building a business. I just get my hustle on, you know, go into networking groups, meeting people. You know, really, people will hire a coach once they get to meet them and feel them and see if they, you know, they vibe with them and they have their energy. And the way to do that back then and now is I have to just get out and meet people. And that's what I did.
So you just jumped in the pool. So it was just that powerful of a 2-hour session that you're just like, this is my new path.
It was one of the most powerful things I've ever witnessed.
Wow.
Ever. To watch people change their life because of questions. Wow. And I was like, I want to be trained on how to do that so I can come alongside people and partner with people to guide them and lead them to have that same experience that I witnessed.
So what have been kind of some of the biggest transitions or issues you've had to kind of come through from that person right there to being a coach, the individual you are today?
Yeah, some of the things that it was probably to overcome. You know, I started this, like I said, quite a few years ago. And my assertion is at the time there could have been people looking at me like, you look kind of young. Like, how do you know how to coach or what kind of life experience have you had? And while nobody ever said that to my face, I was very much aware, like, this is probably something I need to be aware of. And how I overcame that was honestly showing up professionally every time, showing up in integrity, you know, on time, honoring their time and my time, and then really just allowing them to experience my coaching, which is the kinds of questions that are powerful. And at that point, if they, you know, weren't interested in hiring me, at least I knew I could walk away going, hey, I gave them the most professional opportunity with the most powerful questions that I was trained on to give. It's up to them at that point whether they wanted to hire a coach or not.
One of the things that in real estate that we come across is if there's a question that you keep getting answered, asked, I mean, then in your presentation, you want to actually lay that out. Was there everything like that that you actually had to put together where it was like, they look at me maybe as a younger individual. Maybe I need to just start out my presentation with, this is what I know, or this is who I know.
You know, I can't recall that, to be honest. I don't remember that. That's a good question. I don't remember having to insert that into my sessions.
Okay.
I just knew that if I showed up as young and inexperienced, then they would feel that.
Yeah.
They would get that, and that would hinder them from making the decision to hire me as a coach. So I just intentionally showed up to the best of my ability, like I said, as professional and as honest and integrous as I could, and allowed it to be their decision at that point, no matter what.
So besides looking very young, which is usually never a problem, besides when you're a salesperson.
I know, now that I'm not young anymore, I know, I would die to be that again.
Was there any other things you had to overcome? And I know being a single mother, that was probably a big hurdle too.
So single mothership came later, but before that came, one of the things you have to overcome as an entrepreneur is you have to be comfortable with no. So did I get a lot of no's when it was time to be like, are you ready to hire a coach? And I would get a no. Yeah, of course I got plenty of those no's. So learning in that process to A, not take that personally, and to be quite comfortable with getting a no is a huge obstacle that I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. They tend to take that person's no as a personal attack on themselves, or they weren't good enough, or, you know, they said something wrong, or they didn't know enough. And I consciously made that choice in the early years. And now if I get a no, I get a no, that it's anybody's prerogative to decide whether it's a yes or no. So really overcoming.
Well, work with your mother at a younger age, that probably helped out too. or did she not get a lot of no's in her business?
No, we don't we don't get a lot of no's in that swimming lesson business. She's been working that business now for over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So we have the reputation in the valley that we live at. So we don't get a lot of no's with that. And teaching private swim lessons is, you know, it's kind of a skill here and a necessity here in San Diego, in Southern California. So people seek us out to teach their kids to swim. I didn't learn that from mom, how to overcome no's.
Was there something that was that one thing that changed you when you started hearing the no's, no's, no's? Because it has to get deflating. I know for myself, when I would door knock or call and get the no's, it could be deflating sometimes.
Yes.
And so there was just an idea that I think someone told me. It was like, it was 99, for every 99 no's, you get one yes.
Yes.
And so once I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's easy enough. Okay, I got to get excited about these no's.
Yes, yes. And that's funny because I coach my clients around that. One of their practices often, or their action steps are, I want you to go get as many no's as you can, right? And of course, they'll like, huh, that's, you know. No, no, no. There's a purpose to it. You have to be comfortable with the no's because you won't get a yes until you go out there and ask. And for us to assume or assert that everybody's going to say yes to us, like, we just won't be successful at all in business. So coming alongside the no and accepting it is absolutely crucial and key in any of the kind of businesses that we do. So yeah, I'm completely comfortable with a no. And when I was in this process of building my clientele, I remember thinking, gosh, okay, so I've gotten a few no's here. And I thought to myself, you know what? Well, then it's time to change my game plan. What can I do differently to get yeses, right? Because remember at that point, I was in a transition. Either I'm going to make this business work or I'm going to have to go back to corporate America. Yeah. And I knew I do not want to be at the mercy of somebody else as a boss. And so I knew I have got to make this business work. And so I just kind of came up with different creative ways, different creative coaching packages, different creative things for me to do to start getting that yes. Because once you start getting the yeses, then you build the momentum and then, you know, you have the clients, you have the testimonials, you have that kind of stuff. At the beginning, you have to have people to say yes to kind of build that momentum. So I just kind of changed my game plan.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, with all the knowledge you've accumulated over these years in this coaching world, if you could give advice maybe to your younger self that was doing the swim lessons, or maybe another person looking to get into coaching, what kind of advice would you give?
I would say to be an entrepreneur, you have to want that freedom. There has to be a part of you that craves the flexibility and freedom that comes with entrepreneurship. Now, simultaneously, you also have to have the motivation and the drive to make the money so that you can have the freedom. So that would be one of the things. Another thing that I would say to my younger self is that when you do go into business, ideally you want to go into business that will allow you to earn a significant amount of money in a short amount of time. Right. So we're not necessarily trying to go into business where we have to work, you know, 120 hours a week to make what we would be making in corporate America, because then where's the balance? What about your home life? What about your relationships? So if you're considering to get into business, find something that you can sell or a service that you can provide that gives you a significant amount of money per hour or, you know, per transaction, so that you aren't working a gazillion hours and then starting to, you know, be burdened by that, or to start feel resentment towards being an entrepreneur. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, not everybody has the ability, or, you know, maybe what they're selling or serving, maybe they can't be charged by a significant amount of money, but that's where, you know, you come up with other sources of streams of income to compensate for that. Maybe you package some things that you put together so that you can have another way to add some discretionary income to your pocketbook. Or there's, you know, other ways you can go out and start doing different things that also bring in income. So basically you don't want to work yourself to death as an entrepreneur because it kind of defeats the point at that point.
So let's get into the, a coaching idea then right now.
Okay.
Now you're talking about the possibility of having multiple different hats or different flows of income, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I always looked at, right, is if you're a plumber, you should be known as the best plumber, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How do you allow yourself to be the best plumber, but also wear another hat of another source of income? Or how would you coach that individual? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. So like if we're going to use the plumber, for instance, I concur with you as far as if you're going to be a plumber or if you're going to be whatever, be the best that you can, right? Show up on time, honor the boundaries that you set. For instance, if you have an invoice, for instance, and you say there's a late fee, then you need to honor the late fee if your client doesn't pay it on time, right? Because that sets up your boundaries. That sets up as, you know, what's the message that you send to your potential clients if you do honor the boundaries you set up? Or if you don't honor the boundaries, that there's a message that you're constantly giving off. And that is all going to go to whether you're an expert in that field, right? So yes, being number one. But as a plumber, right, he's probably not going to have time to go, you know, I don't know, build bridges on the side. So we look at, as a plumber, what are some things that would cause him to, like you said, have different streams of income? Things like maybe it's time that he could franchise. Maybe he can branch out and take his business and sell it to somebody else. Maybe he can start like a YouTube channel that he builds up enough to start getting paid. Maybe he can put tutorials together for people and they could buy that package. And so now he's selling packages of tutorials for people.
So not necessarily outside of his realm, but
something
just
in his expertise.
Okay, so it could be educational, it could be whatever it might be.
Yeah, he can go and speak. Okay. And, you know, I mean, plumbers speak. Well, why not, right? Yeah. Go teach me how to do something that I don't know how to do. And then when I need something, I'm like, I like that guy on that stage, right? Like, I'm going to hire him. Or, you know, maybe you can you charge people to have them come and mentor under you. I mean, there's a lot of money that people leave on the table when they only think about the one specific piece of their business instead of stepping back and going, where are some other ways I can bring some income within my expertise.
It's funny. I was just talking to a financial advisor I used to know. He's transitioned now into the bathroom remodeling business. It's quite the transition.
Totally. Right? That's very different.
Very different. And I was like, what? Okay. Excuse me. And then I started thinking about it later after we had our little conversation. And I was like, he has a totally different way of looking at how bathroom models are done. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in the construction field before I got into real estate.
Okay.
And you can have the greatest of plumber, greatest of electrician, whatever it might be, but they might not be business savvy.
Right.
Right? So they have the best at it, but their customer service is lacking, or this might be lacking, whatever. But having someone that's been in a totally different field, jumping in their field, I think allows opportunity to venture out like you're talking about with the education stuff.
Yes. And,
or even having a coach like yourself that can basically go, you're great at what you do, but let me build this blueprint for you to expand out.
Yeah, where do we need to grow? So maybe you're good at this, but have you considered this, this, and this?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what if we brought this in or moved this over here? Or, hey, have you considered that we could make an extra this if you just do this? You know, sometimes I think a lot of business owners, I'm not putting everybody in that, but there's a lot of business owners that just kind of stay within their comfort zone, their circle of what they know best, right? Instead of being willing to step out of that comfort zone and going, okay, what is it that I don't know? That if I had somebody to bring that to my light, to bring to attention, that I could bring in this specific amount of money per month. I can say probably with, you know, assuredly, 100%, that every business owner leaves money on the table every month just based off of either not pricing correctly, not charging correctly, not honoring their business boundaries correctly, and or not stepping outside their comfort zone to see, you know, how they can be better service to their their clienteles. Like, for instance, the plumber, he could make an extra A, B, and C amount per month by having affiliate partners with people, with the electricians. You know, does him and his electrician friend have a good affiliate partnership where the plumber, the electrician refers somebody to the plumber, pays him or offers him something, and the construction guy or, the roofer or whatever it is, right? The mold specialists that probably go hand in hand with the plumbers or the water guys, water restoration guys, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that as a plumber, if we're going to stay with the plumbership, they just get kind of stuck, like just thinking about, where's my next job coming or what do I have to do today, or instead of going, where's some money that I'm leaving on the table?
Okay, I'm gonna throw you in the spot right here.
Go for it.
You ready for this? Okay, can you talk us about maybe one or two clients that you've helped, of where they were to where maybe they currently are, or where they're planning to be, or whatever it might be, just to kind of give us a reference point of some kind of the transitions that you've help accomplish.
Absolutely. So one of the clients that I've had in the past is in the industry of helping people get into college, kids get into college. And she had hired me just knowing that it was time to move her business up to the next level. And so the work that we did while I was her coach was, as I've just been speaking about, looking at the ways that she's leaving money on the table was one. The other was, really putting systems into place. So putting a follow-up system into place, putting an affiliate partnership into place, putting, a lead generation system. Where is she going to go get her leads? What are some of the things that we're doing to get those leads? Speaking was something that was important for her because, everybody knows somebody who has a high schooler. So when you're sitting there and, as an audience member, listening to somebody that's going to help get your kid into a better college, right? Speaking. So we put a lot of systems into place. And by the time we were done, she got up and had a brief testimony or shout out about working with me. And she had announced that her business had tripled. Oh. By the time we were done, right? And I mean, at the time she was looking at having somebody come in and partner with her because it was getting bigger. So that just has to do with her willing to be accountable to somebody like me, because when you have a coach, you know that they're going to ask you, did you do what we said you were going to do? And there's something about knowing I have to answer yes to that question gets you to get working. So all the stuff that we did on these calls, she implemented. And when she implemented it and she was consistent, right? And did we have roadblocks? Sure. Did we have obstacles? Yes. But ultimately at the end, her investing in accountability and implementing the things that she just hadn't thought about, because we just kind of get in our bubble. According to her, her business had tripled the following years.
That had to be some tough questions off the back though. Like you're asking, okay, how are you going to prospect? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? And it's like,
I love it. Yeah.
This meeting has gone a little short.
I will say everybody that, I do hear at the end of my calls, my hand hurts because there's so many things that you just had me write down. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly why you hired me, because look on that paper. Imagine if you got everything done that we just said. How could your business not grow?
Yeah.
Right? How could you not be attracting people because they're watching you work on your business? They're watching you do things that are different. They're watching you get in front of people. They're watching you be authentic. I mean, the natural outcome is your business is going to grow because you're out there.
So what's next? What's next for you and for your company?
What's next? So the biggest thing that I'm up to in my company is is getting on to bigger stages. So one of my big goals for 2020 is to find stages that have a higher volume, a higher audience count. Because I have found that when I get to speak, people get to experience me and they get to decide, I want to work with her. She has the vibe I'm looking for, the energy, she has the knowledge, whatever it is that they're looking for. Speaking for me and my business is one of two next steps. I also have just completed an online course on how to build a rock star team and a rock solid team. So in 2020, we are working on right now, you know, the marketing plan and how to get that out to the public for people that either have a team and it's just not working very well. They're just not as productive or cohesive or anything that comes with team. They have one and they need to, you know, add some extra steps. Or a business owner who's like, I think my next step is to build a team. How do I do it? So those are my two big things that I'm working on in business, getting on bigger stages and offering my online course to people who are looking to build a rock solid rock star team.
So if someone's listening right now and they either know of an event for a big stage, ooh, or they themselves entrepreneur.
Yes.
Has a team or a solo or looking to get into the field, what's the best way of them finding you, getting in contact with you, learning more?
So they can go to my website at www.barbaramaisonette.com. You spell my last name M-A-I-S-O-N-E-T. Or they can email me at barbara@barbaramaisonette.com and kind of discuss what their goals are, what their plans are, or how I can be a service to them in their business, in their life, or both.
Perfect. Well, hopefully everyone listening got some great tidbits. Is there any last tidbits or last words of advice you could give anyone listening right now?
Yes, I would say that regardless of whatever obstacles you have in your life, right? For mine, one of my biggest one was, you know, finding myself to be a single mom, not by my choice. But whatever the obstacle is that you have to, my invitation for you is to decide what are you committed to regardless. So if it is a business, if it is, you know, a personal thing, know what your end result is that you want it to be, and then decide right now, because we're not at the end yet, decide right now, what am I committed to? So whatever obstacle, whatever roadblock, whatever pitfall, whatever, you know, terrible thing that happens in life, because we all have it, ask yourself daily, what are you committed to regardless?
Yeah, I think that's some great advice there. So anyone listening there on this podcast, what are you committed to? Thanks guys. Thanks, Barbara. Please subscribe, please share, and of course, tell your friends. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.